Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FinTech Scaling Show. I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe instead of starting with why, you should, in fact, start with who. Ask yourself, who am I serving? And today, super excited to welcome Hans onto the show. Hans is the co-founder of Bunes and Ferenczi. I think I got that right.
Ferenczi.
Yeah. And also, you know, he's worked across the startup and scale-up world as a B2B advisor, mentor, and growth strategist. Prior to that, he's done a stint at HP and other places as well as in senior positions. So, you know, super knowledgeable, super excited to welcome you onto the show today, Hans.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Brilliant. Okay. And as always, folks, I like diving into a bit of a synopsis as to what we're going to be chatting about. And if there's one thing that I know when I talk to founders and CEOs, one thing that they struggle with is knowing who buys their company, who buys their products, who buys their services. Finding that core customer could be honestly the biggest single difference you can make in any organization, especially a startup and a scale-up. And if you do, the results can be amazing. You could potentially double, even triple your business within 12 months. However, understanding your customers and who they are is not easy, and often, you know, requires a lot of analysis and thoughtful analysis of that to identify them and really target them, understand what messages they want to receive. And, you know, that's why, you know, having chatted to Hans previously, I thought, you know, it will be great to dive into this topic for everyone out there and unpack this to see how we can really start getting closer to our customers. And, you know, to bring Hans into the conversation, I think if we start at the top and then we can work our way down and dig deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, you know, if we are a startup, a scale-up, maybe even a larger company, what are some of the first steps that you think, you know, folk out there should be considering as they start to look at how to unpack who their ideal customer is?
Thanks, Richard. It's a good question. And I think in light of this, in the context of the conversation today, given fintech is, you know, it's such a fascinating area, we're going to focus mostly on the side of it where we're talking about a transaction between businesses to businesses in terms of creating an ideal customer for a B2C kind of a fintech thing is a little bit outside of my domain. So I just want to set that as a bit of a context for the audience in this case. So what do we do? Well, if we simplify it down, Richard, and for us, in our view, where we came from and why we started this business is that we saw a couple of things, especially on the B2B side, what was happening. One was that organizations continue to buy lists and lists and lists of company data. And there was one campaign after the other, if it's on the marketing side or sales side, So the first thing is it a hit list? Is it a shit list? Is it a wish list kind of a thing, right? And I've seen this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Even with sophisticated, yeah. you know, Fortune 500 clients that mm-hmm. I used to serve in account-based marketing, they would come with me with a list and I would mm-hmm. challenge them why this account was on a given mm-hmm. list, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what kind of one of the starting points in this.
But on the list, sorry to jump in, mm-hmm. on the list side of things, because it is, I mean, you know, people love a list. Let's not get away from it. But I also feel that sometimes it's a bit of a shotgun approach, right? So I'm going to get a list and I'm going to see how many people I can phone and, you know, maybe I can get in touch with, let's say, 10% of that list and then 5% or 2% actually do something. They're doing something. Who knows what doing something means, but, you know, actually doing something. But if you take a different to the list building, maybe list building could be more, maybe a name is community building, right? Where you go out and you actually do the hard graft. You go into an ecosystem, you start talking to people. Those people that you talk to become part of your, in inverted commas, list. And then you start moving them through. I just think that potentially there's two things that can happen here. One is over time, you build a nice community and yeah, things happen. The other side of the coin is you go for the shotgun approach and who knows, the 2% could do something at some point in time. It's very transactional based, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know your thoughts on that.
We work with our clients typically yeah. in an engagement. We start with creating what we call this ideal customer profile, or ICP. I'm glad to see it's a very hot topic on LinkedIn these days. And it's a bit, yeah, it is. But it's a bit misconception. And to us, in from our standpoint, right? And we deal mostly with kind of technology companies where fintech could be included. It's actually the organization that gets the most value out of solving the problem that your solution actually solves, mm. right? Predicted. They have a problem. And when you solve that, they get the most value out of doing that. Mm. And there's two ways of doing this, so I'll give you a perfect example. If you're, so we were dealing with a very early stage company, seed level in technology and SaaS space, right? And how do they prove that value? How do they prove that it's very, very early, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the best way to do it is actually just simply go and talk to enough customers and you poke around. You just have enough conversations to where you form out something in this particular case and say, actually, the value is when we do this, this is where we get the value, right? And then you build your model around this particular case. In this example, it was a very simple thing, was that this is an employee engagement and the value is to reduce, because the customers are typically organizations with mundane tasks for the employees. And anything you can do to create engagement, the value is you drive down attrition, you drive down sick leave, you drive down all these other bits and pieces. But you have to understand how you get to that in that particular case, right? So it's about value. What's the value I get from this?
The value, what were we talking about value? Like, to dig into that a bit more. Value, we're talking about outcomes. So if I engage with this company that we mentioned, my sales are going to increase or my staff happiness is going to, their cultural experience is going to get better. So value relates to outcomes and that's why you sort of want to engage, right?
Yeah. I'll give you another example, a perfect example we had. We were dealing with a large Fortune 500 client of ours who rebuilding their list, if you will, right? In one large European country. Mm-hmm. And when we have gone through creating this ideal customer profile with them, our sponsor had an epiphany because he had an epiphany that they had been selling the benefit to their customers about saving them money, but actually the value that the customer got, the true outcome of deploying that solution was that it enabled them to grow their business quicker. That's a different story, right? Yes. And if you're spending millions and millions of euros selling and marketing benefit of saving you money versus the value of helping you scale your business, two different things.
Yeah, and I can see that. And as you go through this process of unpacking that ideal customer profile, what are the steps that you guys go through with your clients that, you know, at the end of the day, obviously you hone in on a specific individual or a specific type of organization?
So if it's a more mature business or there's enough transactions, if you will, is actually the best thing to do is to actually start with the salespeople. And you actually start asking them about what is a good sales process look like? Was it a bad sales process? What are the criteria and everything? And it's not about, let's look at your database of firmographic data like revenue size. Or what's the context of your customer when they get the best? What's their context when this works the best? When they get the highest value, what does their context look like, right? What is your context look like? Where do you differentiate when you do this versus someone else? I mean, it's essentially like a discovery process of qualitative interviews with people. In cases, we may read through all of the customer testimonials. If we have the chance and the bandwidth, we'd love to go and talk to actual customers themselves. In a SaaS world, right, you have customer success management. So you start looking at feedback from customers. You start looking at usage of what the product's being used. Is it being used for its intended purpose? You look at all these things and you dissect it down qualitatively first. And it's really to get to map that out on almost like my esteemed business partner. She's a master in using Miro now, right? So we have it all like posted out. And through there, we see patterns. And we typically look at things in terms of what's the organizational readiness, their ability to change, their technology prowess. There's a lot of different things that we end up qualitatively before we look at anything else.
So you go in out speaking to, I guess, the face of the business, the sales folk or the sales teams, and you're putting that data into a, whether you're putting that feedback into a model or into a system whereby you can actually physically look at, you know, what the results are and what different types of scenarios play out, right? And how does this then allow you to match or hone in on an ideal prospect? That, are you able to, because of X, Y, and Z, because of certain scenarios that you go through, you're able to say, okay, pinpoint this this person or this company needs to focus on, let's say, they need to focus on the payment sector, and the payment sector with inside the African region, because Africa has a massive underbanked population, and they need access to mobile applications that allow them to pay. I'm sort of, you know, hypothesizing. I'm just trying to get a feel for how you hone in on that specific target audience.
So I give you two examples, one on like on two extreme sides to give a difference, right? So we take our more mature customer in this large European country. They believed that they had 45,000 possible accounts that they can go after. So none of our eyes could be trained well enough to do that. So the output still is the list, right? But the output in terms of the list in this particular case, what we're going to do is we're using an advanced machine learning model. And what the machine learning model does in this particular case is it takes, so we create the ideal customer profile, all of the attributes associated with it. We then look at examples of customers that fit the bill. And in this particular case, for this customer, we took a mix of their current customers with their pipeline customer and a dream list that they had created. And we use two data sources to do this. And we do this in conjunction with our partner from Dun & Bradstreet, because they have a model in Europe to do this. Two data sources, the classical business data sources of firmographic, revenue, employee, age, industry codes. And combined with the fact that we scrape their websites to look for keywords and parameters that where they talk about themselves, because it actually has a big predictive power in this particular case. So as you know, machine learning works in the sense that you have to train a model with a data set in order to do something. So we train the model with good customers and ideally some bad customers. Okay. And in this case, we trained it three times with feedback loops in every time. And what we look at is where does our good examples and our bad examples end up in the ranking? And when the distribution of our good and bad example fits the ranking, when they fit in the right, we can say with 95 to 96% confidence that we now have a ranked account set. Now, this customer, keep in mind, thought they had 45,000 customers, right? We weren't able to match all 45,000 to online data and offline data in this particular. So let's say that we had 25,000 that we had matched on this particular case. But what's very interesting is about a third of them you can remove. Because they don't fit the bill, right? So this notion we have 45,000 customers. No, you have probably 30% less than that. But what we now have is we have your top 10% of that, your next 10% of that. So depending upon your, if you're an earlier stage company, you now know where to go in business development because we now prioritize your list, right? And that's what it's about. I'm not going to change any of these folks from getting lists. Yeah. They have to have something, right? But if can I give you a smarter and a better list? Yes. That's what it is. And it's based upon that ideal customer profile in the beginning, not some arbitrary firmographic data set.
And to go a bit deep into that, what was the, now that you've honed in, you've cut down and you've really identified the priorities and which market or which target to aim at first, second, and third, what were the results for this particular, in this particular instance? What happened with the sales and the business development activities?
So the delivery of the of this, let's call it universe, it's only about 6 weeks ago. So we're not going to be able to see the end result of this yet. It's going to take a while with it in sales.
Naughty question, Richard.
No, it's an important question, Richard. But I can tell you what the customer saw, which was interesting. Now, this is a sophisticated customer. I mean, a really sophisticated customer. 15,000 of the entities that came out of our model were unknown to them, which surprised us. Out of those 15,000, 9,000 were ranked in the top 50th percentile, which was meant that it was ripe for business development for them. Yeah. So one way of looking at it is that we gave them 9,000 new targets that they were unaware of, that was highly ranked and that matched the criteria in the model. And I'd be very, and this is very important in order from a simple just getting things cemented within the client base. We didn't create the ideal customer profile. We co-created. They signed off on it. They agreed to it. We agree with you that this is the way it is, which means that once we deploy this, there's already an agreement in place that this is what we should be doing now, is to business development.
No, I like that. And I guess the next part of this is once you've honed into that ideal profile and you've got your, let's call it your super list or your list that actually means something, how do you then, what strategies do you guys use with your clients and maybe what strategies have you used in your past to make certain that you continuously engage with this customer set and test out sort of what resonates and what doesn't? So you can, to sort of coin a phrase, you can continuously move them along the pipeline.
So I think there's, you mentioned something earlier, Richard, which I think is very important, right? Which is that only 2-5% of this new universe is going to be in market at any given time, right? So I think there are a couple of things we do in this process with the ideal customer profile is that I come from a background of working in at the intersection of advertising technology, marketing technology, data and insights, right? I was with a subsidiary of Dun & Bradstreet for many, many years. And this, I'm not sure if you follow the MarTech industry at all, but it's now 10,000 different MarTech solutions out there today. And they do slightly different nuances of everything, in that particular case. It's too complicated, right? So if we know there's 2-3%, 2-5% of our buyers that are in market at any given time, right? So there's a couple of things we do in the ideal customer profile that helps when we try to deploy. Number one is that what are the triggering events that is going to make it more likely that you're going to have someone being within that 2-5%, right? Okay. So it could be a break fix. Right? Something is broken. It could be an organizational change. It could be. So in our client's case, the one that we were talking about earlier, the more complex the business is, their client is, the more they need them, right? So then you're looking for triggering events that increases complexity in their operations, in their business, whatever else it is, right? So that's the first thing we do is we've identified a triggering event. So you look at your orchestration. You're now maybe orchestrating 25,000 accounts. You don't have bandwidth to go after 25,000 and call every one of them. So what you need to do is you need to find an automation of doing that. So this is what we do then is we repurpose what you have in your marketing stack to look for the triggering and the intent that they have. So you try to zoom in on that. And then what you may say to Richard is to say, okay, I think it makes sense for me as an organization, if my account set is now, my list is now 25,000, that I business develop and I demand create with the top 20% of that. And that's when I start putting my messages out. I'm measuring that the responses I get on a sales side and I'm measuring and I hone in and I collect the feedback, the qualitative and quantitative, and I try to optimize that along the way in there. You could, as I said, you could do that either purely programmatic marketing-wise technology, using technology to do that. I also prefer the qualitative way of actually talking to people because you find that a lot more qualitative.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say. I mean, in the fintech world, as you know, there's always there's a lot of different things going on. I mean, there's a lot of regulation. A few years ago, that was a triggering event, to coin a phrase. There's obviously funding rounds that happen. There are certain types of, I guess, data regulations that you have to pass in order to make certain that you actually are a viable product and can run a service, right? And I think that's an interesting point. If you're able to look out into the ether from a customer point of view, really understand those triggers, list them out, and then sort of go after them intermittently, that's going to open the door more often than not, right?
You mentioned something very interesting about funding rounds, right? Yeah. So one of our clients said we're looking for Series C, Series D, and this type of space. Mm. And actually, when you deal down with it, that's the triggering event.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not whether or not they're ideal. It's actually when that round takes place is when the timing for you to go in. And that's the one thing I've been working very hard on, coming with my background, is to get our customers to understand. You start with the ideal customer profile. Then you identify when is the right time to go with them. And the when is divided into two. One is there a triggering event or triggering events that make the propensity for these to buy higher, right? And as I said, anything from break fix to new offices, whatever else it is. Or is there a triggering event that you pick up that they actually have an intent, that something has happened you've missed, but they now are showing some degree of an intent of where through their behavior of wanting to do something. And we need to separate those two.
I know you guys have a quite clever model that you plug in different points of data and outcomes different results. Are the triggering events a part of this model that you're able to plug in and take a look at it to make certain that, you know, it's not watching LinkedIn reels day in, day out, more sort of pragmatic, forward-looking, forward-focusing data that you can look at and obviously plan towards?
So what we do with our clients typically is that we do description, and when necessary, we create the model in terms of getting you the list of ideal customer profiles. And then as an audit, when we get to deployment, the biggest challenge always, Richard, is the change management. Getting people to go and change their behavior to do something. Because no one wants to leave any you know, there's a fear of missing out. So this notion of let's remove 30% of my list is always a bit scary to people, right? Yeah. So we have to get to that. But if we know the triggering events, most of the clients we work with, even the ones that are mid-life cycle, like Series B, they have enough interesting MarTech and data and insights capabilities. And it is about them is trying to help to repurpose it for this, which is to look for these, you know, you repurpose what you have, because you probably have the ability to automate your understanding of these events.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
You know, I guess the one question I had around data is, how can all of this data help you as a business owner, as a founder, maybe a chief marketing officer? How can it help you assess where you're going with your clients and what your clients need? Because you don't want data overload. You want to have the right data at the right time that you can analyze and obviously communicate outwards to your senior team. And then you as a unit be able to sort of come up with plans and strategies to execute on. So how can data help you in this instance?
It's a little different, I think, depending upon what you... So if you're a sales-led motion, like most of our clients are, right? So you have a product-led motion and you're a sales-led motion.
Yeah.
Sales-led motion, you know, outbound, you're driven by mostly a marketing to a lead and then to a kind to a sales conversation. If your value creation is only to, let's say, enterprises of a certain size, then you can probably get away with a more simplified solution in terms of, you know, you create, your data on the basis of companies in LinkedIn, or you subscribe to someone like Assume Info or DNV Hoovers, whatever else it is, and you create all the insights around this.
Yeah.
If your value creation is very utilitarian, which means that many organizations can benefit from it, and especially if you're in an earlier stage, it's really about prioritization. So I have a company that I admire tremendously in Sweden here. I've met the founder a couple of times. They just did an IPO. They have a utility. Everyone needs what they have. The question is, how do you prioritize your outreach for the optimal growth path for your business to solve the right? And that's if you really understand where your value is the highest, that's what you optimize against, right?
No, I like it. I like it a lot, and some great points. And as we wrap up this part of the show and we head into the flash round, what are the maybe two or three words of wisdom that you would give to the fintech founders out there or fintech leaders out there that are working through really honing in on their ideal customer and making certain that they can bring them value?
First and foremost, talk to customers. And in some cases, just talk to people that not even are your customers, but could be your perspective, and kind of conduct a qualitative. So always start with the qualitative stuff is my kind of like thing, is that conversations around, you know, and understanding the measurements and the behavior that sits behind those type of measurements, and I think is number one. Understand, unless something you have is extremely utilitarian, right? So I'll give an example. I work for HP, as you said. PC is a utilitarian.
Right.
Unless you have something there, utilitarian, you have a finite marketplace. So understand you have a finite marketplace and you have finite resources to business develop that. So your role is to optimize your resources for that finite universe and your finite resources in there. And that's prioritization, right? And the third thing is drop FOMO, fear of missing out. I'd much rather say, my example earlier, if 30% of the list is not, you know, you can come and revisit that later on. Isn't it better with a 15,000 company list that you are 90% sure that it's the right thing than a 30,000 list that you're 30% sure that you have it right and you have it prioritized? So that would be my kind of my three things that I would focus on.
Brilliant. And some great tips there, folks. And now we get into the flash round, which is a bit of a bit more fun at the end of the show. We always do a drum beat, so I'm going to do it again. Can you hear that? Ding, ding. Yeah, here we go. So what is the flash round? The flash round is part of the end of the show where I ask three quick questions to Hans, and they sort of yes or no answers, nothing, no malicious intent involved in any of them. And then I give the mic over to Hans, and he is allowed to ask me one question. And then we high fives, and we shake hands, and we end the podcast, and we go on our merry way. So let's start it off. Okay, so Hans, here we go. My three questions for you. What is more vital to making a business decision? Is it the data that you can look at and understand and analyze? Or is it, you know, going with your gut feel market intuition?
You're going to hate me for this, but data is useless without insights. So insights comes from the combination of both.
I like the answer. Brilliant answer. Here we go. So here's another one. What's more important, lists or communities?
I think in the world that we live in right now, I think if you can build a community, it's a fabulous way of going to build a business.
Mm. Yeah. Because you can build a community, and all those people in a community, as you said at the top of the show, can form part of your list, right? Why not? Lastly, is it vital to understand the who you're serving in your business? Is that the most vital part of starting, scaling, and building a business?
Yes. I think if you don't know who you're serving and the value prop and the value creation behind that, right? And then, because it's connected to the why, right? Because you say, why we're doing this because we're trying to solve this particular problem. But without knowing who has the biggest problem, have those problems, you're not going to be able to scale.
Yeah, right? 100%. So, totally in sync with you. And now I'm going to hand you over the mic, and you can ask me anything. I've been asked a number of different questions. I'm sure you've been thinking about this on your South African trip. What should I ask Richard? Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Actually, I'd like to maybe go back to this conversation, as boring as it may sound, and say, what was the biggest thing you took away from this conversation today, Richard?
Actually, what I quite liked was the triggering events. Because a lot of time, there's a lot of noise out there, right? And there's a lot of different things going on in the market, right? And in or in your ecosystem. But if you really understand your customer profile, your ideal customer, and the things that make that person tick, i.e. the funding round, or maybe there's a bit of regulation that's chucked in that means they're going to have to update their tech. That's interesting, because you're going to have to, you're able to start opening conversations on important things. Because here's the thing, right? People don't just want to catch up. They want to catch up with you if you have something of value for them, right? It has to be a give and take. There can't just always be a take. So for me, that was the biggest takeaway today. And I think it's a vital thing. And there we go. So brilliant. Really loved the discussion today. And as I said to all my guests, how can folk out there get in touch if they want to get in touch?
Well, simplest thing is, my name is has only 9 letters in it, so it's kind of easy to find me on LinkedIn. And our webpage is also bunnasinferentiary.com, simple as that, even though the spelling may be more difficult to do that. So LinkedIn is a great way. I even actually have published on our webpage, we have our calendar published directly. So if you ever want to just have a chat, you can go directly ahead and just book a chat. I love conversations. There's no strings attached to just having a conversation.
Nice, brilliant. So I'll leave all the details and contact points in the show notes, everyone. So don't worry about trying to scribble it down. Just scroll over to the show notes and you can get all the details there. So, been a really, really great show today. Really awesome to have you on and dig further into the world of finding your ideal customer. And really looking forward to the future and seeing how you guys really help customers out going forward.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.